It's Mike Twain with Crawford Media Group. We're here with Dr. Kelly Sutton. And Kelly, you're an MD that we got connected through some common friends talking about this whole issue of doctors being regulated, overregulated. So thanks for taking the time with us.
Thank you, Mike. You phrased it perfectly. Because, well, the issue that I was overregulated on was childhood vaccines. It's really not about vaccines. It's about the overregulation. In brief, I was practicing medicine in California. I've practiced for almost 50 years and have never had a board complaint or hospital complaint against me until this. And then in 2015, California took away parents' freedom to choose not to give every vaccine to their children. And they said only doctors can make this decision. However, doctors have very broad choice in doing so. So a number of physicians, including myself, began providing medical exemptions for children who were at risk for vaccine injury from the childhood vaccines. And after a period of time, there started to be media stories about greedy doctors selling exemptions, and then we were investigated and disciplined. Of all the doctors I know who provided this evaluation of children who could be at risk of injury from vaccines, every single one of us has been disciplined. None of us has escaped discipline, even though we were following the letter of the law precisely. So I went through that, and that was accomplished in March of 2022. And a few months later, I heard that my license in Massachusetts, where I now live, was also being disciplined. And this is because of a principle in law called reciprocal discipline, in which one regulatory board in a state can simply copy the decision of a prior regulatory board as long as that decision was fair. And the Massachusetts Medical Board considered everything the California board did completely fair, no matter what I said, and they refused to do discovery, which is the exploration allowing me to ask questions and uncover the illegal aspects of what happened in California. I've now also learned that the state of New York plans to discipline my license, and that hearing is coming up in October. The interesting thing about New York is I got my license there in 1982, 41 years ago, and I never used it. I was considering a job there. I never took the job, so I never practiced in New York. But the state is still considering spending taxpayer money. I must be that much of a risk that they want to spend taxpayer money to discipline me. But it's really what you said. The question is not vaccines, yes or no. The question is, as a doctor, is it my job to look at the patient in front of me and do what is best for that patient? Or do I see that patient as a person that I should persuade or force to do what the state wants them to do, to have the kind of exams they want, whether it's a physical exam, a test, a mammogram, a cholesterol, to have prescriptions, which could be statins, SSRIs, vaccines, or do I treat them as an individual? And this is the slippery slope we're on, because we get distracted to thinking, oh, well, we really have to have vaccines. And other people say, well, maybe not every person has to have vaccines. It's not about the vaccines. It's about, is a doctor free to take care of a patient fully and independently and in response to who that individual is and what the specific symptoms and life circumstance is for that patient? Or do I just say, oh, well, you are a combination of certain statistics. You are this gender, height, weight, blood pressure, ethnic background, geographic location. Therefore, I will give you these tests and these prescriptions. And I have, in a sense, never met you except as a statistic, because I'm responding to what the state is asking me to do. There are systems of incentivization for doctors to do these things, and as long as they have a certain percentage of their practice on statins, with mammograms, with vaccines, then doctors are given more money. And we really need to get out of the system money as an incentive for doctors, because it influences judgment. There's no way it cannot. And it's working against us. So the profession of medicine is on the brink. It's really on almost non-existent if the state is the determiner of what doctors must do in face-to-face contact with their patients.
We're speaking with Dr. Kelly Sutton, MD, and we're talking about this government overreach. And Kelly, you'll be pleased to know that when my doctor prescribed statins, said, no thanks. She wasn't very happy about it, but I said, we'll pass. Thanks.
She may have taken a notch lower evaluation of her competence.
That's amazing.
If she can't say this number of people are on statins, and maybe a financial recompense as well. I don't know.
Well, that's why we wanted to bring your story to our listeners, because Dr. Rachel Corbett got us connected. And this, I think some listeners might think, well, this is not going to affect me. And you can speak to that, because we've seen it in our lives, myself and some of our staff, and it feels like this is, if we're not already there, and I think most people are really with their doctor, this is where we're headed.
We have to really demand the freedom of doctors, because doctors are, in a sense, a linchpin for controlling the entire population. People respect their doctor's opinion, and if we're all saying the same message, then the population is not receiving any version of truth. They're just receiving what is the narrative from the government. The pronouncement of what doctors should say is probably organized through the Federation of State Medical Boards, and that was founded in 1913, the same year that we got the IRS and the Federal Reserve. So somebody's been thinking for a long time how to centralize control of key aspects of our lives. And it's a sad wake-up call now, but it's a necessary one, that we really make up our own mind about things and have less trust for what we have considered reliable authorities in the past.
So, Kelly, a Denver area listener hears this interview. What can they do? What are some of the steps that they can take to support doctors having that freedom and have that honest and transparent communication?
They can work in the political process by contacting their representative and senator and saying, what legislation does Colorado have to protect doctors' voices? I want my doctor to tell me the truth. What's happening? And is there any legislation that refuses to let doctors have independence of speech? And let their representatives know. The other thing is, when you go in with your doctor, take somebody with you, because having a witness, an extra pair of ears and eyes, is very important. And take some notes, and don't feel obligated to say yes to everything. It's usually older patients who are more obedient, and younger or middle-aged patients will ask more questions. Do your research, because I'm sad to say that today the medical practice is oriented almost entirely towards pharmaceuticals and procedures. You will not hear about worthwhile, healthy alternative treatments that are less toxic and should be tried first before we go to the more toxic conventional treatments. So you have to do your own research. A lot is on our shoulders today that we have to carry to avoid damage from the takeover that's happened in medicine.
It sounds like having a quality alternative doctor is so important. And we have such good ones in Denver and in Colorado. There's just no excuse. We have so many options.
Wonderful. Yes, it's like having a team. Today, we can't have one doctor that can do everything. You may have a primary care person who interfaces with the insurance and makes referrals to specialists. And then another person on that team is the holistic person who can look at the diagnoses and say, these are some treatment options you could consider. here's lifestyle, here's diet, here's exercise, here's sense of purpose, and supplements or homeopathic remedies to see what of those would fit for your situation.
You know, Dr. Kelly, we're always amazed by the docs that will hear stories of a doctor telling a patient, well, supplements, they don't do anything. Or your lifestyle is not going to really change this, but we have this drug that might be able to help you. It's stunning to me, and we hear that over and over and over, and that's one of the things you're fighting against.
Exactly. In 1910, Rockefeller sponsored the Flexner evaluation of medical schools, and medicine prior to that time was eclectic. It included homeopathic medical schools, what were called regular medical schools, that are the existing allopathic schools of today. And then there were herbalists in each town. The regular doctors didn't do so well. They were among the others, but they weren't like the top of the heap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But with the Flexner Report in 1910, I think 1,500 medical schools were shut down. So there was no homeopathic training left. And herbalists were considered unable to take care of people because they needed to have medical training. And we kind of got on this track of petrol-based pharmaceuticals, which is where we are today.
You know, Dr. Kelly, as you mentioned, being able to go into a doctor, take notes, say no. We're so ingrained in many of us to say, okay, that's what he or she told me to do. That's what I need to do. And take that medication. Me take the statins, which I'm so thankful. I had great doctors like yourself telling me, don't do that. Don't do it. There are other ways. And lo and behold, there are other ways, because I've dropped my numbers by 20, 30 points just by doing the things that a great alternative doc would tell you to do.
Exactly. Oatmeal is great to lower cholesterol. And there's a specific bacteria called Lactobacillus reuteri, R-E-U-T-E-R-I, and I think the number for it is 30242, the strain. And Health Life Extensions makes a product called Heart Assist that packages these bacteria, and you take one capsule twice a day, and it makes a significant drop in the LDL cholesterol. So why not use that first and see how much good you can accomplish? Oatmeal, 35 grams a day of fiber, and the Lactobacillus reuteri can go a long way for a lot of people.
That sounds so much better than reading the side effects of a statin and realizing, boy, some of those things come true. We're hearing the stories. And of course, we have great alternative docs that have, you know, that we get the ear of basically on the radio station, and they've helped us with that. Now, Kelly, before we run out of time, I want you to go back and talk about what people can do to take action. I think that's super important. Please.
Thank you. A wonderful group called Physicians and Patients Reclaiming Medicine is helping me and other doctors like myself to face in the legal court system the injustices that are being handed towards doctors. And when that happens to doctors, it happens to patients. Their website is reclaimingmed.org. And you can go to that website and put after that reclaimingmed.org/drsutton, S-U-T-T-O-N, and you'll get my whole story and some other interviews and articles that have been written. And if you want to donate, which would be much appreciated, that would be the place to do it.
So give us that website again, if you would, real quick.
Yeah. reclaimingmed.org/drsutton.
Okay, and we'll have that information. If any of you missed it, please call us here at the station. I'll make sure that Charlene up front has that info. Dr. Kelly, thanks so much for taking the time for us. We want to check back in with you in a month or two and hear kind of how things are going, if that's okay with you.
Love to do that.
Okay, thank you.
All the best to everyone.
Thank you.
You.